up. So if you want to give this a title, what I'll be sharing with us today is stop. Please, somebody say stop. Can you tell somebody stop? Tell somebody else stop. Say it in a loving way, especially if it's your wife beside you. Just say stop. Yeah. You know the name you call them. If it's babe, stop babe, you know. Glory be to God. So stop. All right. Psalm 4 and verse 4. Psalm 4 and verse 4. We'll be looking at what does stop mean and what is God saying. Now, let me tell us, stop can mean different things. Completely different things to different people. Don't worry, you can stop playing for now so that you two can listen. Please help me. That man is a minstrel. Brother Franklin Firstborn. Please be on alert. Okay. So Psalm 4 and verse 4. Now listen to what the scripture says in Psalm 4 and verse 4. It says, stand in awe. I'm reading from this is the King James Version. And I'll try to also read from the New King James Version. So the King James Version says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Now, when you see the word Selah, because you need to understand the context and the historical context here. What was happening when the scriptures were written? You see, that's one way you can stop to actually hear the interpretation of what God is saying. If you can just put yourself in the context, like the scriptures before, the scriptures after, but the historical context, then you will get the picture. And then it will help you to see how it applies to you, your own life. Before, you know, when I first started reading, studying the Bible, I would just read and then I'll see a scripture I like. I would stay on the scripture and I'll start quoting the scripture. And usually I even tell the people about the scripture. You know how many of us have favorite scriptures in the Bible? Just like this particular scripture. But, you know, the question is, do you know the context in which the scriptures were written? Do you know the historical context? Do you know what was happening then? Do you even know if that scripture actually applies to you? You see, we're talking about stop and listen. It's high time we start learning how to listen. Now, something happened to a young boy called Samuel. On our Thursdays, we will be expounding more on that. By the help of the Spirit of God, I will share, I will teach, I will break it down as God helps me. You know, I don't mind repeating myself because that's one of the traits of a teacher. So don't mind repetition. But I always tell people, anytime you read the Bible, you are repeating the same thing that was written every time. It's just that each time there's a new understanding, if only you can stop to listen. What is God trying to say? Even though I've read this scripture before, and I've been experiencing that, in recent times, I will read the same scripture I've been reading for years, and I'm not trying to vaunt myself. I've been actively, intentionally, deliberately studying the Bible. I mean, when I say studying, real sitting down, studying the Bible, I've been studying the Bible since around 1988. Where I had no other book I was reading except the Bible. Of course, I was in university then. But then, before I even read my academic books, I would spend like 3 hours studying the Bible, and then I would spend 1 hour studying my engineering. Don't look at me like that. I didn't fail. But then I found out that studying the Bible helped me to study and understand my engineering. But story for another day. Now, I've been studying intentionally, seriously. But now, recently, when I read the same scriptures I read, it's like I'm getting a new understanding. So, a young boy called Samuel, we see that in 1 Samuel chapter 1, the story of how he was born. 1 Samuel chapter 3, when his mother now brought him to the temple, what today we call the church, and gave him to the priest because she had made a vow that if God should give her this child, she would dedicate the child and literally give the child to God. And that's what she did. So in 1 Samuel chapter 3, we begin to see a young boy called Samuel begin to minister before the priest. He was serving, he was ministering before the Lord. But then one strange thing happened. In verse 7 of 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Bible tells us that Samuel didn't know God. He was dedicated to God. He was brought as a child. He was serving God. He was ministering to God, but he didn't know God. And the Bible says in that verse 7 also that neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And that got me to stop. You see, practically, let me tell you one way you can learn to hear God. You are studying, reading the scriptures, and suddenly a scripture grabs your attention. Please stop. It's a Selah moment. You see, when you see that scripture I just read, the Selah. Selah is just music. And then, you know, when you are singing, and then there's a clash of cymbals, you know, when, like an interlude, you finish the first verse or first stanza of the song, and then there's a clash. So it's like pause. And then the next verse. You know, those of us who are musically inclined will know what I'm saying, but everybody should understand that. You know, when you're singing a song, you sing the first stanza, and then you pause before you go to the next stanza. So when you see scriptures, pause, that grabs your attention. And this made me to stop. Excuse me. Dedicated from the womb, given, brought to church, brought up in church, and he didn't know God. And the Spirit of God began to speak to me. Listen, the fact that you are coming to church, you've grown up in church, brought up in church, does not mean you know God. Does not mean you even know how to hear the voice of God. Does not mean that when God is speaking, you're hearing, or you even understand what God is saying. You know, one of the prophets in the Bible said this, and Jesus echoed it. They have ears, but they're not hearing. They have ears, but they do not understand. You see, that's why the psalmist said it's the entrance of the word that gives light and then brings understanding to the simple. So you can hear, but it's not entering and you're not understanding until the Selah, you stop to listen. And one of the things also that the Spirit of God told me is that talking is not the same thing as listening. Some of us talk to God, but we don't listen to God. Oh, I'm always praying. I'm always talking to God. Excuse me? Are you also stopping to listen to God? Can God speak to me? Yes. God speaks every day. God speaks through everything. The Bible says the whole of creation, they declare his glory. God can speak to you through everything if only you will stop to listen. God, what are you saying? God, what are you saying? Lord, what are you saying? You know, this gets me a bit emotional, so just pardon me. But I remembered, you know, I've shared this before, but just to put this in context and make it more practical. You know, how old are you, Noah? You're 23, sorry for revealing your age, all right? 22 years ago, minus one, you know, my late father had a fatal accident, and he was knocked out, and, you know, they told us, it rushed him into the theater and told us he's not likely going to survive, but if he survives, He may not be the same again. They found out that three places in his brain, there was internal bleeding. Three different places. So we were asking the surgeon that, so what do they do? They said they have to suck the blood out of his brain. So what does that entail? Sorry, I'm being a little bit detailed. Okay, we're all adults, all right? So, Rookie, they said they have to crack his skull in those three places, go inside the brain, and suck the blood out. I don't know if technology has improved now, Doc Uche, all the doctors in the house. Is there any way you can get blood out of the brain without cracking the skull? You still have to drill a hole. Can you volunteer? He's volunteering. Your husband, I would drill a hole in his brain now. So I want you to imagine that. I say, what? I say, yeah. That shook me to the foundation of my faith. I began to, one, almost doubt God. But then, I'd reached a point in my life at that point where, listen, there's no trouble, there's no trial, there's no nothing that could make me begin to doubt God's existence. I'd crossed that Rubicon. I'm telling you. This is funny. Even if God appears to me now and says he doesn't exist, it's too late. But imagine God appears and tells you, I actually don't exist. Does that not mean he exists? So, but it wasn't a case of now doubting God's existence, but Lord, it shook me to the foundation of my faith. Before then, I'd seen miracles, but then it was like, this man is going to die. He's going to die. Lord, my father is going to die. Oh. And then I remembered, I was so shaken, I couldn't focus, I couldn't concentrate. And then all of a sudden, I learned something that changed my life. I began to ask God to tell me how to pray, what to pray, and whether I shouldn't waste my time. I'm serious. God is that real to me. And I believe God is also real to you. And if he's not, God will be real to you. I'm telling you, if you are seeking, if you seek for him, you will find him. So I said, God, should just let me know so that I don't go into any fasting and praying. And then at the end of the day, my father will die. I don't want to waste my time. So I said, God, tell me. Should I pray? How do I pray? Is he going to survive? Is he not? And God told me, your father is not going to die. No, he's not going to die. 23 years ago. And truly, he went into the operating theater. Something went wrong when they were operating. I think they said an artery in his brain burst while they were operating because of his blood pressure. Sorry, I don't know about medical, but the medical jargons and all the medical people will know what I'm talking about. And that means, is that not a stroke? When an artery bursts in somebody's brain due to the blood pressure. Yes, faith, yeah, you know, you are a senior doctor. That's a current, more current doctor. Please respect your elders, okay? Please. You know, when we're young, we think we know more than the people because we are learning new technology. You know, we can use the iPad, we can scroll, we can whatever. Listen, no matter what technology comes into the world today, technology cannot replace God. So listen to me, if you are young and you think technology is God, God is not technology. So please, a little bit of medical. Okay, let me talk to faith. Somebody's artery burst in somebody's brain while they were operating. Somebody has put it there. What did they put there? Hemorrhage, stroke. Is that correct? All the docs in the house, there are many medics here. Is that correct? So that happened to my dad, and they said probably we'll come back round and it might be a vegetable. Well, glory be to God, I held on to what God told me because I stopped to listen to know what to do. not going to die. Beautiful. It's coming back. Beautiful. Well, several months, years, he came back. When he came back, he didn't know anything anymore. He couldn't recognize anybody. He didn't know my mom. He didn't know any of his four children. He was just staring at all of us, you know, just looking like Lucozid. Oh, sorry. Daddy, sorry. He's in heaven now. I'm sure he's laughing at me. Listen. And then he came around, thank God. He wasn't back to 100%, but at least we had our father for the next 23 years. And every time I get news, oh, something has happened, they had to rush him to the hospital. Guess how I pray? I listen before I start binding. I say, Lord, you told me 20-something years ago he's not going to die. Just tell me if he's going to die now so I don't waste my time fasting and praying. Just tell me how to pray. Let me tell us. The Bible says that we don't know what to pray for and how to pray, even for what we should pray for. Romans chapter 8 says, but the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities, our weaknesses, our lack of expression of words, to know the right words to say, to know how to pray. The Holy Spirit helps our infirmities because the Holy Spirit knows the heart, the mind of God, and helps us to pray exactly the way God wants us to pray. So what am I saying in essence? Before you pray, you have the Spirit of God. Ask Him, please help me, lead me, guide me, show me how to pray about this issue. So that we're not frustrated. Oh, I prayed. Okay, let me just do a census. How many of us have prayed about a matter and nothing happened? Can I see your hand up? Please own up. We're in the house of God. Don't lie. You've prayed and it didn't happen. Yeah. Every one of us can relate to that. You pray and pray and pray and pray. Nothing happens. Have you stopped to say, Holy Spirit, please just guide me, show me how to pray and what to pray for about this matter? That's the way I've learned to pray now. That's the way I've learned to pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And thank you, Lord, for that which you are doing. To you be all the glory. Please, let's just pause a bit. I just want us to pause to stop. Let's practice what we're hearing. Some of us are going through situations, and I want you to pray and say, Lord, what are you trying to tell me through this word, stop? See, stop may mean different things. But what are you trying to say to me about stop? About that word, stop. In this, please apply to your current situation. And stop. Father, I just pray, like you told Samuel. I'm telling your people, as I'm hearing you, to say, speak, Lord, for your son, your daughter, is listening. Please, can you say that maybe under your breath? That, Lord, just speak, for I'm listening. Just speak. Speak. Speak to me in a way I can understand. You don't have to hear a voice. God speaks through all of creation. Amen. Amen. You know, just to conclude with my, you know, the story of my dad, and then I've shared this before. I'm just saying it just to demonstrate what I'm teaching, because I don't like talking. I want to talk with proofs and evidence. When we were having the last 12 days retreat of 2021 going into 2022. We do that as a church. Last 12 days of every year, we shut down to stop so that we can listen. God spoke to me on the 9th day of the retreat and told me by this time in 2020 going to 2021, yes. And God spoke to me, and I wrote it down, that by this time, September 2021, going into October, your dad will pass away. I wrote it down. Because it's far away, and then, of course, you know the COVID and all that stuff. So we entered September, and then they started telling us all sorts of funny stories and things that were happening. And I remember what God said. So I called my siblings on a Wednesday. Oh, lovely baby. Stop, baby. And the baby stopped. And God told me, and I called my siblings, and I said, God told me that our dad is going to pass away. But let me tell us, I was telling them, unless it's not God that spoke to me, but daddy is going. This was on a Wednesday. Friday, I was praying with some people. We were having a midnight prayer. And I just told them, please just join me, pray that my dad will go peacefully. I got a call Saturday morning that my dad had gone. Was it painful? Yes, but did God speak? He spoke. Because I stopped to listen. Now, what happened here was that Samuel was there, ministering to the Lord, serving God, but did not know how to hear God's voice because he didn't know God. Number one, he didn't know the word of God. You see, if you don't know the word of God, when God is communicating to you, you wouldn't hear his voice. There's a psalm, I think it's one of the favorite psalms I had from, please, if you are watching Apostle Bishop Ezekwe from Accra, please type that scripture that talks about the voice, hearkening to the voice of his word. It's in Psalms, I think it's Psalm 119. It talks about the voice of the word that is hearkening, listening to. So if you can hear, I know you're watching, please just type the scripture, or if the media team can find it. You found it. It's 103, verse 20. Okay, what does it say? Please grab a mic and read it to us. Because I want us to see something about the word of God and the voice. And voice does not necessarily mean audible. It just means, you know, you see something and then God is communicating to you. You see a child and God is speaking to you through the child. You see the weather and God is speaking to you through the weather. You're going to work and something just happens and God is speaking to you. Like I remembered when I wanted to marry and there's this sister I thought was considering, I was praying, Dr. Uche, you know. And this particular day we were going out. I said, okay, let's go and visit 5 people. Everybody we went to, they were not at home. So as I was going to drop her, God spoke to me. If you marry her, the marriage will be unfruitful. So I ran for my dear life. Of course, I had not told her anything. I didn't tell her I want to marry you, and then I changed my mind. You know, there are some funny men these days. It's everybody they want to marry. You set the sister up, and then you break their heart. The Lord rebuke you. Why did you say amen now? Why is it that we always like... Psalm 103, verse 20, before I forget. Let me stop where I'm going. I'm going in another direction now. Okay? Bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the what? Voice of his word. So I want to hear God, please, do you know his word? If you know his word, then you will start knowing God, and then you will recognize his voice. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, just start today. Stop running helter-skelter. Stop and open the Word of God. It's called the Bible. Somebody said once to me, how do you know that the Bible is the Word of God? I have a simple question for you. How do you know the Bible is not the Word of God? Because when you read the Bible, and scientifically proven, you will see the things recorded in the Bible, science is just confirming today. They just keep confirming. The Bible had said the earth was round before they found out. Scientists found out a lot of things. We discovered coronavirus in 2020. Jesus had said it thousands of years ago, that there will be pestilences, earthquakes. There will be this. There will be war. Jesus has spoken about Putin attacking Russia. Nation rising against nation. Just leave it. Please stop that nonsense, arguing with people. I don't argue. Bring the Bible and start. I don't argue. The Bible says foolish questions. Avoid quarrelings, strife. Why did the children of Israel? That is a lie. They didn't cross the Red Sea. And maybe they crossed the Blue Sea. That's your problem. It's not mine. It's working for me. It's working for me. I'm not confused. You're the one confused. Where was I? Stop. Stop and listen. All right. Anyway, I just said all that. Stop. This is what the Spirit of God told me, and then we will pray. Stop means, can mean different things to different people. And I received this for us. So what God might be saying to some of us, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1 to 2, says, when you come to the house of God, I'm paraphrasing, be more ready to listen than talking. So maybe God is saying to somebody, stop talking, listen. Yeah, you've been praying, but in your prayer, you're just talking. You're not listening. You're not allowing me to give you direction. Yeah, you're crying to me. You know, stop can also mean stand still. The children of Israel got to the Red Sea. Moses was crying to God. Stand still, stop. And then God began to give direction. Stop talking. Prayer is not a one-way monologue. It's a dialogue. It's a communication. I'm talking, he's talking, I'm listening, you're listening. You know, this morning I was joking with someone. I started a conversation with them, and I walked away while they were trying to talk back to me. And then I came back. Oh, sorry, stop. I said, I've come to stop to listen to you. Sorry, I didn't listen to you. I walked away. She's smiling at the back there. You remember I told you? I said, I've come back. Sorry. I started the conversation. I was talking to her, and she was wanting to respond to me, and I walked away. So I came back. I said, I've stopped now to listen to what you're saying. And I said, coincidentally, is that not what God is telling us today? No, I didn't hear what she was saying because I did not stop, and I didn't stop talking. I was walking away. Some of us could be like that. So stop. Be still to hear what God is saying. You have to be still. You say even in the midst of trouble, I've got to make a decision now. I can't. Be still and know that I am God. I am in charge. I even have the hearts of kings in my hands. Some of us have made decisions rashly because of pressure. We were not still. So let me tell you one of the ways you know it's not God speaking to you. Uche, no. If you don't do it, now. Uche, And then fear grips you. Some people who have made decisions out of fear, out of pressure, and they are looking back now and regretting. I wish I had stopped. I wish I had listened. Look. Somebody saying time is going. You see, I hear things in the spirit. The time is going. I've got to make a decision. Excuse me? Where's time going? Time is in his hands. Time is in God. God can literally stop the time for your sake. It will look as if they can't proceed. Some years ago, you know, God was speaking to me. God reminded me for 5 years I'd gone in another direction that God led me. 5 years. I was enjoying, I was prospering, I had a job, and then and all of a sudden they were going to make me the manager. And I lost my peace. What do I mean by I lost my peace? I didn't feel like I should take on that post. It was a promotion. Everybody was lobbying for that position. Everybody, Felicia. Lobbying, I was just sat down still in my office. And then they came to me and said, we have all decided, the board, we know you didn't apply for this position, but we want to offer you the post of the manager, second to the general manager. Excuse me, please, let's be honest now. If it was you, will you pray? No, why are you looking at me like that? No, will you pray? You will come next Sunday and give Thanksgiving service. You won't pray about what? God has opened door. I'm the one who opens the door. No man can shut. Come on, man. Promotion does not come from the east. Well, that's when you start quoting those your favorite scriptures. You won't look at it in context. I lost my peace. When I say I lost, I felt uncomfortable. Please don't ignore those uncomfortable feelings when you want to make a decision, especially under pressure. No matter the pressure, you feel uncomfortable. Please stop. Pray and listen. I felt uncomfortable. I didn't understand. But then when I went to pray, God reminded me that on that job, I'd veered off. I was 5 years on the job, everything going fine. But I didn't realize what was wrong with me. Something wasn't just right. Until I went to pray and listen, and God told me, what did I tell you 5 years ago? And I remember that God told me to go into teaching. But then I tried to go into teaching. I don't know why I'm sharing this story, but I know God is speaking to someone. So I went to try to go into teaching that God told me originally. And I went and they started telling me some stories. How long have you lived in this country? Do you have any teaching experience? I said, no. The only teaching experience I have is in church, teaching Sunday school. And I and saying, "Thus saith the Lord." That's the only teaching I have. Okay? There's actually some funds available to sponsor people. And actually, we need men who look like you. How long have you lived in this country? I said, I just came. Sorry. How much will it cost? Well, there's a fund. You know, that's meant for, but because you don't qualify, you will have to pay. I said, how much? They said, about £9,000. I said, okay. God has not spoken. True life story. So while I just left it, and I just went, and I just found this job, it was an open door. I jumped at the job, and I was there. I was happy. 5 years I was on this job, I was not fulfilled. I couldn't figure, I'd even forgotten. But then when they offered me the managerial post, and I felt uncomfortable, I went to pray. And that's when God was reminding me. You've been 5 years just in, I will call it the permissible will. Because I don't want to go into too much theology, because people debate about all these things. What I just mean is that, you know, what God has for you is A, and you settle for B. Case in point, because I always like to back everything up with scriptures. Case in point, when God told Lot, get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you know where God told him to go? Escape to the mountain. Don't look back. Just escape to the mountain. He jumped out of Sodom and Gomorrah, where there was all manner of sin. And you all know about Sodom and Gomorrah. If you don't know, go and Google. Ask Google. Stop and ask Google. God said, go to the mountain. So when he jumped out of Sodom and Gomorrah, God told him, don't look back. His wife looked back. She became a pillar of salt. You know, those are some crazy things in the Bible. How can somebody become a pillar of salt? Please, if you want to know, stop, listen, ask God. God will give you a revelation. There are some things I don't argue. I just read it as it is, and I ask God, please explain this to me. How can somebody become a pillar of salt? Some of you don't know you have been putting Mrs. Lot inside your food. Those of you who eat salt, you don't know. Just joking. So God said, go to the mountain. He jumped out. He saw all the circumstances. He now told God, please, please, you see that little town there? That little town there. Let me just go there. God said, okay, go. But I want to, because I'm going to rain fire and brimstone now over Sodom. Get out. Just leave the place. He says he went to a place called Zoar. Do you know what Zoar means? Little. God said, mountain. He settled for little. And God said, go. So he went there. God did what he would do. At the end of the day, he had to leave that little place to go to the mountain. And I'm telling you, that delay cost him something. Because if they had gone and obeyed God fully, we won't have Ammon and Moab today. Story for another day. That's too deep for some people. So when I prayed, and God was reminding me, yeah, you've been 5 years of this job, but that's not, I told you to go into teaching. So I began to explore. 5 years teaching. Yeah. Universities had closed for the postgraduate program. But then when I started exploring, they said they're extending. Look, God is the one who opens a door when you want to be obedient. God will open the door that is shut. They extended the admission. So I went and inquired, and I began to shiver because it meant I will quit my job, no more salary. And I've got, by this time I had a wife and two boys to match, two hungry boys. Sorry, Noah and Joshua. two heavy eating boys. See how big they are today. That's my investment. Anyway, so, and God told me, yeah, that's what I want you to do. That's my original plan. Do you know what happened after I walked away 5 years ago and they said I wasn't qualified? Somebody like me, my situation, same thing, went to apply for the same teaching. They told him he wasn't qualified. They told him this, they told him that. He still applied. When he applied and he entered, they waived it and said, we don't care whether you are here 2 years. We don't care. We want you. And they gave him that grant. I would have been given that grant 5 years ago, but because I did not move in the direction of obedience. Listen, it's when you move, like the lepers, the Bible says as they went, they were healed. There are some things that won't open until you move. For some people, stop may mean stop going in that direction. There's another direction I've told you originally. Change direction. So I lost that opportunity 5 years ago. I was not comfortable in plan B. Now they were offering me promotion, and I was uncomfortable. So after I prayed, I said, okay, Lord, I'm ready to make this decision. It wasn't easy. So I decided, I applied. They told me they would bend everything backwards just to accommodate me. Do you have any teaching experience? I said, no, I still don't have. I teach in church. Okay, have you done any school, you know, stay in school and go and observe a school? I said, I've not. The only school I've observed is when I go and drop my children in school. I've not observed any classroom experience. I said, really? Okay, we need you on this engineering to have like a course, postgraduate, you know, to have like a portfolio. I don't have no portfolio. The only portfolio I have is the portmanteau I carry to church. Called me for interview. The man sat, looked at me. When I eventually obeyed, say, you know what? We'll take you. We'll bend every rule. But promise me one thing. You won't give up. Because it's going to be, I still remember the word he used, a steep learning curve. I've never heard that statement before. So somebody, God is speaking to you. It's a steep curve. Humble yourself and be ready to learn. So after I settled down, I went back. They said, please, we want you to make that. So they saw I wasn't smiling. I said, please give me till Friday to decide. The board and everybody, they were shocked. I said, just give me. So within that space, I was able to do all that. So I now prayed. Thank God. God bless my late mom. I always bounce things off with her. I said, Mommy, just pray with me. And she told me what God showed her. I said, okay, I'll confirm with God. And God told me, take up the managerial post. But tell them you are resigning at the end of August. Can you imagine they offer you a job and you tell them up front you have resigned? There are other people lobbying for the job. Who wants the job? Even more qualified. I was the minority in this organization. Complete minority. Do you know what shocked me? They said they don't care if I resign. I said, I'm resigning by the end of August. They said they don't care. Just, we have offered you, the board has decided, and you must. So I accepted. That's how I became a manager, next to the general manager. And when August 30th came, I dropped my resignation letter. And I went back to uni. This was 2007. How many years ago? Were you married then? Okay. No, just asking. No, nothing. Now, do you know what happened? When I resigned, August the 30th, in September, the board of the organization met and said, you know what? We don't even want to continue with this organization anymore. They went into liquidation. What if I didn't pray? What if God didn't tell me to resign in August? I would have come giving testimony. I'm not a manager. And then some few weeks later, I'm no longer a manager. Pray for me. I need another job. Please stop and listen. I think I want to stop here. I think we should pray. Please, Franklin, just play something and let everybody just play for like 4 minutes. Okay? Please, everybody, let's bow. You want to know God. You've heard my story, and something within you is stirred up. You laid aside your majesty, gave up everything for me, suffered at the hands of those you have created. You took away my guilt and shame. Please talk to God. When you died and rose again, now today you reign in heaven and earth exalted. Please talk to God. I really want to worship you, my Lord. You have won my heart, and I am yours forever and ever. I will love you. You are the only one who died for me. Give your life to set me free. Please listen. Just pray. Now I lift my voice to you in adoration. Oh Lord, I really want to worship you, my Lord. You have won my heart, and I am yours forever and ever. I will love you. You are the only one who died for me. You gave your life to set me free. So I lift my voice to you in adoration. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I want to know you. Reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself. I want to know you. I really, really want to know you. You were born in the church, brought up in church. You have even been serving like Samuel. But you don't listen to God. You don't recognize his voice. But now, today, don't harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. Lord, take away this stony heart. He says, I will give you a new heart. I will pour my spirit into you. By the grace of God, I have 2 sons. They never knew anything but church. But one day, individually, they had a personal encounter. They know God for themselves today. There comes a day. That day, this day, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. For somebody, you don't hear God speak to you anymore. You stopped hearing God communicating to you. Please return. Return to your first love. Stop. Lord, speak. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Yes. Go in the direction of obedience. Thank you. you're inviting, if you want to know God, it's Jesus that reveals the Father. Just receive Jesus into your heart. Just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me all my sins. I return to you. Make me a child of God. I receive you into my heart. And I confess with my mouth. Today, you are my Lord, my Savior. I hear the word resurrection. Resurrection. He is the resurrection and the life. If you are dead in your trespasses and you think God can't forgive you, He will forgive you. He will give you a new life. Just receive and go in the way of obedience. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for everyone making that decision. Making that decision. I will have asked you to raise your hand or stand up, but I'm not doing anything religious. It's between you and God. He hears you. Stand still. Sin not. Commune with God in your heart, your own heart.